Hey, I'm Brad. I'm the host of your favorite short devotional podcast called Your Weekly Calling. And by short, I mean 6 minutes because, let's be honest, that feels respectful. Each week, it's just a quick thought about faith in real life. Not a lecture, not a guilt trip, just something helpful for your week ahead. If you can spare 6 minutes, sometime between your first cup of coffee and asking, wait, what do I have to do today? You can listen. Your Weekly Calling is on the Hopecast Network. It's quick, honest, and done before your week really gets going.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Lots of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the Queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the Queen Bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Soulmate, there you are. I've been waiting for you. Welcome to the Heart Conviction Podcast on the Hopecast Network, episode 22. Welcome. Hey, look at us. We're having camera on this week. You might be able to get little clips of this episode. We're getting through. We're pushing through. I'll tell you what, I'm hearing this around the board. 2026 is coming in hot. It is like putting us through the endurance program. And that's not just me. We're all like in chapter 1 of 12, and it's been like, you know, not a breeze. I'll say that. We're all going through it. So I decided it was time for camera on. Enough of the softball eyeballs, and we're just showing up. We're showing up for who we are and how we are. Well, welcome and happy all the things, right? I think we're all getting through snowstorms, most of us. We are preparing for Valentine's Day and the seasons of love, the month of love. I know that's ready to make some of y'all barf. I just see the barf emoji and you guys getting ready to puke over it. But we're going to talk about real love, the authentic kind of love. And it's going to be a 3-part series. So welcome to this and happy to have you. I'm overcoming a season of new grief, and that's tricky. And we're just going through all the things. So we're going to talk about those things. And then we're also going to talk about a little cap on the conversation of good and evil that we talked about last week. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. Really important episode. So I am in these stages of grief, and I don't know about y'all, but when someone passes, I really feel it through and through. And God always meets me with joy, as he does, as he promises. I always tap into it. I tap into it like a insurance plan. And I'm like, Lord, I need that joy that you promised. And he always shows up with it. It comes. And it gets tricky for me because I love when people want to check in on me. And we need that when we're going through grief, right? We need people, a lot of people like it. I want it. And I want to meet those people with real joy also. I'm excited to see them. I want to have a conversation. I care about them also. And it's hard because then people are like, yeah, dude, she seems like she's doing really good. And, you know, generally speaking, sure, we are. But I think you have to kind of just hurt and mourn people and feel those losses internally and privately and in those conversations when you can. And it was just interesting. Even I met this stranger this week at a birthday party, and him and I started talking, and he asked about my parents, and I immediately just started weeping, not crying, weeping. And that is who I am, as we know. Like, I should do a ratio of what episodes I cry on and which ones I don't. I should, you know, people last year, there was that trend where people were counting how often they cry and they were making like flow charts of it. I can't do that because it would just be, I could do it. It's just like every day, it's consistent. And it's not always bad. It's not every day. Maybe. No, it's not. But I just feel it so strongly. And as healed as I am from the death of most, if you bring them up and when I talk about how much I love them, listen, my eyeballs are going to get wet. That's how that's going to go. And so I get overwhelmed when people pass, and I just love them so dearly. And I try to establish as strong of connections with people in my life as they'll let me. And when those are big connections, man, those losses are hard. And the longing for them is intense too. It's just really hard. I yearn for them desperately. I don't just miss people. I yearn for them. And that's with fallouts also. I will hate what happened. I will hate what was done. I'll hate the sin, but man, I'll miss you. And so if you listened a couple episodes ago, I lost my grandfather, and I know grandfathers die. I know they pass, and that's what we have to do is lose them. But I hadn't crossed paths with one as special as mine. And so he's a really big loss. And so I felt so bad. I made a little Facebook post about him, you know, as we're required to do as humans. And I wanted to, because I knew there were people that had known him throughout time, but through my parents. And I wanted, you know, I just wanted to do a little honorary post. And I did voice text when I do it. I seem to always be on the go. So a lot of stuff is getting done as I'm boarding a flight, as I'm in the car, you know, as it goes. And I said in the voice text, I yearn for him. And I don't know if ChatGPT or whatever thought I was like saying earn, because I was talking about death. But my post for, I need to just fully reread it and edit it. It gets sloppy. And I just hit post. And it said, I earn for him, like the urn that you put ashes in. And that was up there for like, I don't know, a couple hours. And I was like, whoops, what a mistake. I mean, kind of embarrassing. You know, I try to correct those things, but the irony of it saying earn, and I meant to say yearn. And I thought, how many people read that and thought that I'm earning, you know, earning those little canisters. I'm little canistering for those people. It was just like such a funny typo. I thought about it almost every day this week. And I'm like, that was such a weird one. Whoopsie. But, you know, it was funny. We had this big snowstorm and my husband was gone for work. And so I had the house to myself and everything shuts down in Texas. If they see one little perfect snowflake, they're all like, shut down, burr, 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 burr. Everybody take cover. Like, it's gonna stop. It's freaking out. And I was kind of like, okay, like, I guess we're having a little old fashioned snow day. And boy, did it force me to sit there with my feelings. When you're snowed in for days, you don't have to be anywhere for days. I was alone for days. It was like, okay, get ready to feel these feels. But don't you worry, that got interrupted very quickly and that got vetoed real quick, because I all of a sudden started getting hits of people sending me messages about dogs that needed rescued in the storm. So I got a dog rescue story for you. So I am a firm believer that if something crosses your path, no matter what it is, if it's in the grocery store, if it's in your life, if it's through somebody you know, whatever, there's a good shot that you have an obligation to that. And I believe it then becomes your responsibility. And even in public, when I see things go down, you know, whatever, the nonsense, the drama, whatever, and I insert myself as I seem to do, and people will be like, you know, mind your business. And I'll say, well, this has now become my business. Now that I know about it, now that I've seen it, now that I've witnessed it, it is my business. This is a hard topic that a lot of us avoid because it's so sad that it's consuming. And you have to enter in this headspace where just, man, you can't be selfish. You've got to hurt in order for other things to benefit. And that's a mindset that's very hard to get to. Shout out to foster parents of humans and animals for that matter. You got to get to that headspace. And I hear a lot of people say, I can't foster animals because I get too attached. Okay, that's so selfish. That's so selfish. Like, I know you would benefit from this, animal or human, and I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hurt when you leave. And I get it, but I hear it so much. I'll tell you what else is interesting. When people hear that I do a lot of animal rescue, even in the just the conversation with them face to face, strangers, people I know, and anything in between, they always say it. I hear it so much. I do it, but I get too attached. I do it, but I get too attached. And I say, well, sure. That's the obstacle. That's what you do. And it's to learn to grit and bear and to get through it and to give and to live selflessly. And it's not easy for me always. Do you know how many foster fails I have? And it's difficult. It's tricky. It's hard. It's haunting when you're left with the images of the conditions that you pull animals from. It's terrible. But the rewards for them is incredible. And if you were in need, I would hope that somebody wouldn't be halted from helping you in fear that they would hate it to see a bad situation. They'd get attached, whatever. So that's really not our call to duty. And so I feel a real obligation to use my strengths to help situations with animals. And often that's bad and abused situations. If you are bold, I would like to offer this calling to you also. A lot of situations need it. And I'll tell you, you might not have the authority in many situations, but confrontation is powerful. And sometimes it just takes saying the right thing, doing the right thing, acting on it, presenting, giving people an option to do right for them to do it. And it might not be immediate, but it does happen. And so there was somebody who was asking people for help. They had heard about these dogs that were left outside on the south side of Dallas, you know, in the hood. And they had been out there for, I guess, weeks, and it was starting to get very cold, and it was becoming bitter cold here in Dallas, and people were worried about them, and nothing was being done. And I guess they had called animal control, and they were moving very slow. And in a lot of counties, animal control is great. In some counties, it is not. And I have heard, because Dallas is so large, that each county is very hit or miss. The smaller ones are better, but the bigger ones are rough. So this is Dallas proper, so it was rough, and it sure was in person also. And so I said, well, I'm going to go myself. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Now, the worst thing that can happen is nothing changes and you made effort, but I'm not one where the buck usually stops there. So I was like, I'm going to push this and see the distance. So I felt like I was supposed to also. That's another big thing, is being led off intuition and spirit and feeling a push and nudge. Sometimes that push or nudge for me to do anything, this is intense situations, not intense situations, and bail bonds and life and relationships and in everything, I will feel a push so big and so strong that I don't even need to like debate it much in my head or chew on it long. It's usually like I just hit an action and I feel yes, 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 green lit, you know, in my gut, in my spirit, in my soul, in my communication with God. And I know if you kind of don't communicate with God, that can feel lofty, but it's a real thing. So I decided to go get to this house. And here is the good news, is somebody had already came and picked up the dogs, and they were in the driveway when I was there. So this is kind of how I know that these moments are supposed to happen, because I would have needed the reassurance. I couldn't have got there and just not known what happened to the dogs. I would have wanted, you know, to do a whole investigation and follow up with it. It was nice that I got to see the dogs in a car. I had a really big talk with the person who picked them up also. And I was like, listen, like, it's your duty to do right by these dogs. We cannot leave dogs out in the cold, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, they always got some big story of what happened. And I said, are you somebody who is going to be mindful of this? Are you respectful to animals, or do you treat them more just like, you know, rougher? They're outdoors, they're fine, they're you know, and we had a big talk, and so felt really good about it. That was great. And he goes, well, my biggest thing is, why are you guys only coming in on us? Why are you doing this? Now, animal services, animal control is actually there at this moment too. Very interesting, because I was going to go far earlier in the day. So the fact that I even got there right when everybody's there, right when everybody's parked, is interesting. Now, let me tell you, the man who worked for animal services, I don't know if he loves animals or not, but he's not great with people. I'll tell you that. That man, man was nasty. He was a mean man. And it was interesting because he was upset with me also for being there. Now, if he's really there for the advocacy of the animals, then in his heart, he would be glad that anybody was there. What he was upset about was that I took it a step, I went the distance, and I had a really meaningful conversation with this person, and I could tell what was happening. That man, the animal services man, felt like, boy, I didn't do that part of it. And it felt like, look at this girl essentially doing my job for me. And it was a pride thing. It was 100% through and through and through, because, you know, as a human, as a citizen, you do have the right to talk to people, to say things, to go. Now, he has almost about as many rights as I do in the moment, because he has to file things and, you know, get warrants and the whole thing. And in that moment, him and I had about the same amount of power. And he was just so nasty. And he was like, hey, like, let me handle this. And I said, no. I said, I'm having a conversation with him that he is agreeing to. Now, many people would stop at that point, but kind of knowing the control and the power of what different people have, that gives you the right to kind of talk back. You know, if he was a cop, I couldn't, but he's not. He's an hourly worker, just like, you know, anybody else. And so I said, no, this man's willing to have this conversation with me. I said, it's important for you to not just come and band-aid the situation, but ask more. I said, you'd be shocked at what you can find out. And I said, I'm going to continue to have this conversation. I suggest you listen. And I said, and if your heart's in a good place, you'll learn. So he didn't love it, but he listened. And this man then tells me, the guy with the dogs, he goes, why don't you go check the house across the street for me too? He goes, why are you only checking me? And I said, I'll go do it right now. You want to report something to me? And they'll say to me, well, who are you? Who do you think you are? And I'll say, I'm somebody who cares. That's what I am. And I always say, you know, I've worked in fugitive recovery, so this is nothing. And if you say that, I usually get some respect. And he points to this, you know, real dirty house across the street. You know, when I say we're in the hood, I mean, we're like in the hood, you know, like the hood, not just the hood, but like the hood. And all this, you know, this house fallen to shreds, and there's this dog kennel on the porch, and it's covered up with a big blanket and then stuff in front, just junk galore, right? Like the kind of houses that would probably have a washer and dryer in the front yard forever. Reminds me of my hometown. And he goes, go look what's under that blanket. Promise you, you find a dog. I go lift up that blanket. Now, this animal service guy is just spiraling out of control. I mean, he is like a tea kettle. He's like freaking out. You know what happened? He learned that a conversation to getting somewhere leads to more. And he didn't have that conversation with that man. And so now his pride's really hurt. And now his pride was really more important than what was happening. Now, how cool would it have been if that animal service man would have just said to me, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for being somebody who puts themselves out there. Impressed that you're willing to go talk to these people. Wow. But instead, he was seeing what he should have been doing. And then it was making him mad at me. It was like, I said it to him too. I said, sir, I said, if you have any kind of faith in God at all, I said, I think your heart's being checked. That's what's happening right now. So I go marching over to this porch, and the animal service man is like, he's like huffy and puffy. I said, let's just look. I go, I lift up that blanket, and there is this chubby, cutie little Frenchie, big boy, just shivering to death, shaking, shivering, laying in his own poop, laying in this crate. And I looked at that animal service man. I said, see? This is why we have to ask questions. And those people opened the door very aggressive, very assertive, very angry. And the animal service man was struggling with the anger of them. It was so strange. It was very, very strange. It brought out the weirdest emotions out of people. We had this huge talk about them, and apparently they're decent to their dog, and this is what they put him in to use the bathroom. Didn't make a ton of sense. Wasn't great, that's for sure. Dog looked pretty well taken care of. They brought him inside. I don't feel great about it. It wasn't fantastic, but we were able to have this really good conversation. And that animal service man, it was one of the most spiraling, unprofessional. And I said, brother, are you well? Are you okay? I said, I mean it. I said, are you okay? And he just hated that somebody was not getting paid and essentially doing his job better than he was. And I said, listen, I have worked as an officer of the court. I'm good at this. And I said, you know, just learn how to talk to people, learn how to ask questions. Asking questions will get you so far. And it's tale as old as time. People don't like when questions are asked because it stirs up feelings. It makes you have to be accountable. It's tale as old as time. People will run and dodge a question. If you find yourself getting your heart pinged over questions, I'm telling you there's something to work out there. Full stop. It's biblical. That's real. You should be able to. You could ask me any question about any aspect of my life, even when it hurts, even when I feel myself start to get checked, because I love the accountability. And this man was just, I can't stop thinking about it because I was like, there was something psychological going on there. It was past unprofessional. This man was hurting. And I said that to him too. I said, listen, you got to get right with the Lord. That's what I told him. I said, I sense that you have a relationship with God. I sense that, friend. And boy, was he mad at me. He was like pacing like a little madman over what? That I came to help too? It was because I was doing his job better than him. I don't feel great about the Frenchie situation, but at least something was done. I was then also able to get follow up there. So I'm struggling with going back myself. I think I'm deciding if I should or shouldn't, but probably will. Go lift that blanket up again and see. Make sure that little chunky monkey potato dog is getting taken care of. It's what's right. And doing what's right as we talk, and this is a nice full circle. Oh, I love when we full circle. We can blend topics into doing good and evil. And being right sometime, or being good, it will look like trying to be right sometimes. And that's a hard line to walk. I struggle with that. Even with the animal service guy, didn't necessarily want to look right. The point wasn't trying to look right. But going the step further, making that human connection with these people who are responsible for these dogs, it is what's right. And when you see somebody spiral out of control, when the topic of what's right comes up, or avoidance or accountability, that is how you know there's some yuck in that heart. I do it even with my own self. If you feel yourself get squirmy, that's a perfect word for the animal service guy. That's what it is. So we kind of take care of that and I drive away. And I'm telling you, my spirit was tugging. You guys, sometimes the Holy Spirit takes over and I feel it so strong. It's like, it's almost like something higher takes over. I can't explain it other than like, it's like entering the Holy Spirit zone. Something higher took over me. And I was like, there's another dog that needs help. I could feel it. It was like 1,000 pounds sitting on my face. And I'm like, I can just feel it. And I'm like, let me do some laps in this neighborhood. So I just circle the block at one time. And all of a sudden, this big, beautiful husky dog, beautiful, runs out in the middle of the snowstorm. By this point, there's snow falling. It's icy at this point. This huge, beautiful dog comes running, gorgeous. I'm like, are you an angel? Like, what is going on? And he seems not great, but he is a husky. So I do have faith in his ability to like tough the winter and be outside. And I hate that he looked homeless, but less worried about him than another dog. And he makes eye contact with me and like leads me, like won't let me touch him, but is continuously making eye contact with me, looking back at me, when I went to bed that night, I was like, was that dog an angel? Like an angel dog? I don't know if that's real. Somebody would probably be offended at that. But I was like, it was like he was leading me. It was so weird. So I followed him. I followed him another block. And he leads me to this other dog in a front yard. No leash, no collar, nothing. Now, this dog, this new dog, number two dog, seemed well taken care of. He also didn't look cold. Like the husky had like ice in his fur. This dog did not. This dog looked like he had been sheltered, but just came outside. And I'm like, huh, like, okay, now there's two stray dogs and they kind of seem to know each other sort of. no owners in sight. Then all of a sudden, this third dog comes out from under the porch, kind of behind the porch, and he has his rib showing. He's shaking. He looks beat up and he's bleeding everywhere in the snow. And it was interesting that we got here. So I had some kibble in my car, keep it on deck, and I'm getting it out. And the dog one, husky dog, and dog two go running after the kibble. And that scared, hurt, bleeding dog, number three, is cowering to them, like scared of them, timid to them. It was interesting, but he wanted the food and his ribs were showing. He was the worst off. And he was just hurting. He's bleeding everywhere, obviously, but even his face looked like I'm not doing okay. And his tail's way tucked under his legs and he's got dings all over him. Looks like dog bite marks all over him. And he's just in rough shape. And the other two dogs won't let him even eat the kibble. It was really sad. I kept trying to make new little piles. And I would have taken all three of them, but the first two didn't really actually want touched or approached. So that was a hard one. So then this kid comes out the house and he goes, oh, that's my dog. Dog number two, like the one that looked not too bad. He goes, that's my dog. I said, okay. I said, you just leave him outside. He goes, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, we kind of do. Okay. And he goes, no, but he can come, you know, he's coming inside. I just let him out to go to the bathroom. I said, okay. And I said, what about these two dogs? And he goes, I don't know about the husky so much. He said, but that dog down there, he goes, the third dog, the hurdy one, he goes, you know, his owners, I think, are way down there, but they're not nice to him. And I don't even think they let him in the house anymore. He's just a street dog now, but, you know, he's been out here a while. And I said, well, the storm's about to get real bad. He goes, yeah. He goes, he's hurt, you know? And he goes, yeah, it's not good. He goes, they were like keeping him in a cage for a while. And now he's just out here, but they abuse him. He almost looked a little bit like a bait dog to me, which sucks and hurts and like really sucks. You know, like the ones that they use as bait in dog fights, which gross a million X on another level. And I'm like, man, now I won't sleep tonight. I think the husky can make it. The husky might not even be a real dog. I mean, heavenly body. But this third dog isn't going to make it. And I thought and he's kind of like a pit looking mix where they're like, no, not a lot of hair to even protect him. And so I just opened the back of my car door. And I say, come on, buddy, get in. And he was very scared. But the second I put a little food and showed him that that was there, he went leaping in. And he gets in the car and he's like immediately trying to warm up. You could tell he's convulsing because he's so cold. It was so bitter cold here. I mean, what world do we live in Texas where it's like bitter cold? And he's like convulsing because he's so cold. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this dog is bleeding everywhere. Like I just got a new car. I'm like, oh God, the price we pay, but it was what was right. And I just had this peace, like, this was supposed to happen. Like, look how this happened. And I said, God, I have no doubt that this all led and you were just taking the fact that I was obedient there and this was all a part of your plan. And how cool. Three birds with one stone got knocked out. Went for the one dog and all these, three things happened. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And I have dogs. I have two new foster puppies at my house. I really don't have the space for him, but boy, was I sure going to make it. But I said a prayer. I said, Lord, I believe that you made him cross my path and I will do right by you in this, but I need help. And this is a big undertaking. He's very hurt and he was going to need a lot and probably very expensive also. And I was like, Lord, help me get a situation for this. Reached out a couple charities I knew, organizations. But I knew with the weather, they were already full. I know the animal shelters are full right now, and it's not great, especially when it gets cold like that. And this is going to be a tricky thing. And I just put them on my neighborhood's Facebook post or Facebook wall. And I just posted the facts and his pictures and, lots of people saying good wishes. But it's very easy to watch somebody else do the right thing, right? It's very easy to let all the other people do the things that need done. And let that check your heart. That's in a lot of areas. And I was like, I just need a bite, help, anything. Somebody brought some food. Okay. You know, whatever. And then I get another message from another neighbor lady. And she says, I actually have some really nice food I'd like to give you. Okay, great. I'll take it. Anything helps. Thankful for everything. I said, that's great. I said, yeah, I'll come get it. And she's like, okay, great. You know, meet me at my house. I meet her at her house. And she gives it to me. Super nice lady. Never met her before. She lives so close to me. And I said, do you want to see him? I said, he's in the back seat. You want to see him? And she's like, sure, you know. And she goes and opens the door and looks at him. And you could tell by just seeing the condition he was in, she immediately was like, oh, you know, puppy. And she was like petting, you know, he was pretty gross. He was pretty dirty. He was bloody. He was stinky. I was scared to touch him. I didn't touch him yet. And she's like cupping his face and being so kind to him and sweet talking him. And she goes, oh, look what rough shape he is. You know, I can't stand it. And it was so cute. Once she saw the dog, it was like it took on a whole new meaning. And it was just very sweet to find somebody who could look at him and feel those feelings of compassion. And she goes, okay, we need to figure something out. And all of a sudden, I wasn't alone in it. And I could sense the Lord through all of it. I could just sense this lightness, this feeling of he was in control and he was honored by obedience in it, just by being led and going the next step and kind of being led, you know, wonder to wonder kind of. And this lady was so sweet. She goes, okay, let's make some phone calls. So she's on her speakerphone. She's petting the dog. She's giving him all the love that he probably really wanted. But I was just like a little bit scared of him to do it. And she didn't care that he was bloody and crusty. I was scared. And she's touching him and being so sweet. And she makes these phone calls and she's calling her neighbor and the other neighbor's coming down to see him now too. And she gets on the phone with somebody, sweetest, cutest lady, British accent. And she's like, you want a dog? And the lady's like, I'm not ready for a dog. And she goes, you take the dog. And my neighbor goes, well, I'm not ready for a dog either. And they start talking about how they have both recently lost their dogs and how they're both not ready for dogs. So they hang up. She keeps making phone calls. Well, then the British lady calls back. And it's just very sweet, very animated, fun to hear their conversation. And she goes, okay, how about this? You two come over with the dog. Us three will put our heads together and surely we can come up with something. So we're like, okay. So we go to her house. Remind you, I don't know either of these ladies past this moment and it's kind of late, but the storm is starting to come in heavy. Cars are sliding everywhere all over the place, all over downtown Dallas. And we go to her house and she lives in a very nice house and we walk in and it was so interesting. She had the entire setup for a dog. Beds in every room, toys in every room, dog blankets, dog bowls. She had dog food still. Great, nice dog food. My dogs wish they got that dog food. She had treats from Erewhon, that very expensive California grocery store or whatever it is. Just the fanciest of stuff. And she said, oh yeah, I've only lost my dog of 2 weeks. And she was sharing the stories about how sad it's been and how they had a routine together and they had certain songs they sang throughout the day and she was still singing the songs and that she just had missed her routine with the sweet dog. And that we bring the dog in and it was so funny. It was so cute. He walked in very politely, very timid, very shy. And he goes up the stairs and he's just trying to be respectful, it felt like. And he just saw the dog bed and you could tell that this poor sweet boy was just exhausted. And he goes over to the dog bed and he just like melts into it, curls up in a little ball with a huge smile on his face. And it was just obvious that he was happy to be warm and just happy to be there. It was so sweet. It was so like, I felt so good for him. Like he was just happy. He was happy in the car to be warm. I took him to McDonald's, got him a cheeseburger and I got myself one too and ended up giving him mine because he was just so hungry. And she said, okay, well, he can stay here for the night. We'll figure it out. He can't go to the shelter. She goes, please don't take him to the shelter. And I said, well, I'm sort of open to it, but they're full, you know? And she was like, yeah, don't do that. She was like, she's like, I just read there's no space in them. Don't do that. Okay. So we won't do that. And she's like, okay, so we'll talk about it tomorrow. Okay, great. So we all touch base in the morning. And she said, he has been just easy, polite, sweet as can be, just happy to be here. And she starts sending updates. And, you know, all he's doing is like cuddling up to the soft surfaces and so happy for it. So sweet. And I was like, oh, you know, it melts your heart. And when I went to bed that night, I was just like, thank you, God, for trusting me to do right by you. But thank you for doing it with me. I didn't do that alone at all. At all. That was so God. It was so, I mean, the way that aligned was beautiful. And it was really a touching moment too to hear this lady talk about how she'd been missing her dog and how hard it's been. And she'd been just missing him so greatly. And she said, it was interesting. I just today, for the first time, just even went online and browsed dogs for the first time in these 2 weeks. She goes, I want to be faithful, you know, to my dog still. I don't want him to be replaced. And she goes, I just gave it a look. And it's interesting that this happened then. And she goes, it's like he's sitting on a little white cloud looking at me saying it's okay. And, you know, if I wasn't about a 22 for 22 on crying on episodes, I would really let myself cry right now because I could. But I'm trying not to. I'm trying to do it less. I know there's some men that listen to this. I know y'all don't want to hear that. I'm trying for y'all. And it was just really cool. It was so cool how she was just like, okay. And I thought, this dog is so sweet. Like, he's going to melt her heart. And next thing she goes, okay, I took him to the vet. and I have an appointment to get him fixed. Okay, great. You know, and then I get the sweetest message from her. Just now we're only, you know, 4 or 5 days out. And she said, Nina, I'm falling in love with him. and he's just so sweet. She called him her little cinnamon roll. He does. He looks like that. He's kind of a toasted orangey color, kind of brown. And he sleeps in this little tight ball. You could tell he's used to keeping himself warm. She said, he's just lovely. It really felt like the perfect way to heal. So if that isn't a love story for our love series, I don't know what is. The month of February, we're going to talk about love, all kinds of love, unique love stories, things like that. If that doesn't just give you the warm and fuzzies, I mean, I don't know what could. And it is just, I think she's going to keep him. And boy, that dog had a turn around. He came from the hood on the street. And now he lives in the nice part of town and in a downtown beautiful house. He has a lady who's going to give him all of her attention. And it just makes me feel so good. It's such a happy ending. Cinderella story, if you will. She named him Duke. It just shows that, like, being brave and being confident and doing what's right, even if it's intimidating, that could have went poorly, you know? And let me tell you, nothing good happens without an obstacle. That animal service guy, he was just like, you know, really trying to wreck the whole thing. Lovely story. So I thought that was a perfect way to kick off our topic of love. I want to address the negative narrative to people that hate Valentine's or hate the topic or hate it all. Now, I will tell you this. I considered going in a couple directions this month with Valentine's Day, and I thought, let me do a little Valentine's Day research. And I look up the origins of Valentine's Day. Odd to say the least. it was strange. It was peculiar. I was like, okay. You know, those ones that kind of go on about how holidays are like have pagan roots. And I don't ever want to believe that. I'm always like, I kind of want to write them off as like a little crazy because what am I supposed to do? Give up Christmas? You know, it's hard. Okay. So this one really did have pagan roots. and I was reading it out of the Smithsonian, which is like a very credible resource. And they were talking about how like it started off as this like sacrificial thing that they did for the communities. And they would sacrifice, okay, ready for this? A goat and a dog. And I hate that I just told you that story to follow it up with dog sacrifice. And then they would mix the blood with milk. And that's where the red and white came from for Valentine's Day. I hate it. You know, if you hate the mush and the lovey-doveyness of Valentine's Day, don't worry. You actually love it because it was quite the opposite of that. But they did the sacrifice. Listen, as they did back then, as much as I hate for it to be true, wish it wasn't so, glad we're not doing that so much. they were making sacrifices, and that's the beginning of it. And they were doing it so the town could have fertility. And this is going back to like Roman Empire stuff, which is even funnier. All the way back then, this was sort of the roots of Valentine's Day. And then there was a lot of talk of, you know, that real famous sculpture of the two little boys breastfeeding off the wolf. It's real famous. It's like their names are like Romulus and Raymond or something like those two R names. It had roots to that too. I was confused by why that. And then it turned into this talk of fertility, which was this talk of love. And then Shakespeare started writing about it, and then other famous authors in that time too. And so then it just became this tradition of this celebration of love. And then later on in like the 1900s is then when actually Hallmark, I think in Missouri first, started saying, hey, instead of making these handmade cards, why don't we make produce cards? And now here we are, multi-billion dollars every year for Valentine's Day. Call it what you want. I know that's why some of you are cringed out at it, but it's also funny. There are people that hate it so much that there are people who are anti it and people who are like, I refuse to have any part of it. You know, it's all commercial. It's all pagan. I get it. But where is the intent of our heart? Where does it come now? There was a story I was reading about this man who bought out every other seat in his local movie theater because he was so in Shanghai. Because he was so against Valentine's Day that he didn't want couples to be able to sit together when he went to the movies. So he just wanted to sit alone and he wanted to see no couples on Valentine's Day. Don't let your heart get there. Don't start buying every other seat. I was like, oh, okay, cute. It was so funny. In our love series for the month of February, we're going to talk about different kinds of love. We're going to talk about all the Hebrew names for love. We are going to talk about self-love. I have a really good episode coming out the week of Valentine's Day for people who are single still. We're going to speak to the single heart for Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about marriage and all the things. And you know what? Why not use it as an excuse to talk about love? Why not? I mean, we might as well get there. So I put this out the week before Valentine's Day. So if you're the one who gets real cringed out about it, or like, let's say you kind of roll your eyes at it, like you're not the mushy gushy and you're like, I don't even want to participate in that. You're probably even married and you're like, I don't want to participate in that. Can I just say, at what point can we not be willing to talk about love? It's a loaded topic. It's a loaded conversation and it probably has a lot of memories. Valentine's Day is funny. It has a lot of, make it cheesy, corny, silly, you know, goofy. Let me tell you what I did in prep for Valentine's Day. I went on eBay and was out there just bidding away. Boy, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that gets my blood cooking, it's trying to win an auction. And I bought vintage foil Britney Spears Valentines. They're so funny. They're so cute. I can't wait to pass them out. And then I bought a couple old, like pre-war German Valentines. And it was really, they're really cute. It's like this little boy holding like an accordion and the accordion pops out. It's so old. So just, you don't have to like spend a ton of money. You don't have to do the big commercial thing. Why don't you just do something like silly, goofy, funny? And I'm always going to encourage that. It's not necessarily romance, even though the conversation originated in fertility. But it's like, just this time to be cheesy, to be cutesy, be goofy, to love on people. And they say that we're out here spending a couple billion in candy alone. Okay, fine. Then you eat a little candy. And if you're married, use it as a time to make somebody feel loved. Get your head in a headspace where you can just get there now. Don't write it off. I'm not doing that. Because here's what sucks. You can hate the beginnings, the origins of Valentine's Day. You can hate the commercialism of it all. But what's happening is, if you have a significant other in your life, the others around her are going to be doted on and made to feel like they're loved. And a little bit of a offering or a display of someone's affection towards somebody. And we all do want that. We even those little Scrooges, that's Scrooge and Grinch. Even those little Grinches out there, those little Scrooges, what's the Valentine version of Scrooge? I don't know. You do want loved. It's in our DNA. We're inherently beings that want loved. And I get it if it feels a little overboard, but what if you did something small, like low-key, something low-key cute? I also ordered these little teeny tiny cards. They're miniature cards with little tiny pieces of paper in it just to write like little teeny notes in it, and they come with like a little tiny seal. What if you just did teeny then? All the person wants in your life is to know that you were intentional about loving them. Who doesn't want to feel like someone in their life made a choice to love them or to participate in the day of expressing love? So I'm pleading with you to shed your grievances on Valentine's Day and to do something nice for somebody in your life. Now, let's say you're single and it just feels like, you know, Heartbreak Hotel over here, and you got all the bad feelings about Valentine's Day. That's okay too, but it doesn't have to be romantic. Do something really nice for a friend in your life. How about for your mom, your grandmother? Do something like that. Like, I struggle with Mother and Father's Day, but you know what I do? I buy gifts for all the people in my life who have taken a form of that role, or I appreciate them as parents in their own life. So there's ways to turn stuff for you. So come out of your misery in it. Let's retire puke emoji and heart eye emoji it up. And let's just try to enjoy the season and get on a bigger topic of love too. I want to eventually introduce us to a series of the fruit of the spirit. And, you know, we always say love first, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we're also going to start the Fruit of the Spirit series this month, and we're going to start with love. So we're going to do that too. Excited to have it. So let's just go ahead and finish this episode with just a little full circle moment of good and evil, if we can. And we talked about last week about how your awareness of good and evil is detrimental to everything, that it really matters, and you have to have a relationship with good and evil, and how you view it matters, and how mindful you are of it matters also. And I hope that that message last week stuck with you a little bit. I hope you felt a little meat and potatoes in it, because it's really important to enter in relationship with the conversation of good and evil. I put myself in good and evil filter all the time. When I feel ugly coming out of me, I think, is this a notch for good or is this a notch for evil? And getting out of the place where you just count it all kind of neutral territory. And that's also going to plug into the series of love and how you handle relationships and where you put boundaries. And it's this conversation of good and evil. If you are boundaryless in your marriage or in your dating, that's not neutral ground. It's also not biblical. And so we're really good about just saying, oh, it's just the way it is, or it is what it is, and I can't change them. I can't, but you've not established what you expect. And in Ephesians 4, it says, instead, so it's like an offering, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, and that is Christ. Accepting your relationship with love and light and truth and all those things, it all falls into the kingdom of God. And your relationships matter. It affects who you are. It affects how you're able to be used in this life. And it's this beautiful concept that we just abandon. We neglect it. And I want to just bring this to your attention from the conversation of last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, please go. It's a pivotal conversation. But your complacency in being willing to change or to identify those things, it is a notch for evil. And when you have gotten shy of speaking truth, shy of confrontation, shy of conversation, or even being able to realize where you're wrong, that is a notch in the side of evil. And I want you to think about when you have issues with somebody, how willing are you to talk to them? How willing are you to initiate the conversation with them? And this plugs into love also. I was so proud of the tie-ins with this episode when I wrote out all my notes for it. It's bold love. Do you love enough to go to somebody and say, I know this might feel uncomfortable, but I want to fix it. I know this isn't an easy one, but I want to talk about it. And it's very easy to write that one off specifically. Your relationship with communication is easily written off to, it's just who I am. I'm not confrontational. I'm shy. I don't like to kick up the dust. I hear those over and over and over again. And yet the Bible says to go into things boldly with truth. That equals kingdom of God. And that's very, very, very hard. And I've sat in church board meetings also too, where I'm like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. And people that I've been over in pastoral positions where I'm like, can we talk about a certain aspect of life or your life? And I come in love and they want to run from that truth. And, you know, there's a saying that that lies can't sit with truth at a table. Now, I'm not saying everyone's living a lie, but this lie to yourself that conversation on this topic is scary, I can't do it. It really is a notch in the side of evil. And when we talk about this month about love and relationships and marriage, and even if you're single and you want to be married or you want to find somebody, let's talk about, do you have a relationship with the thought of correction, with the thought of correcting somebody, correcting your own heart? Self-reflection plugs into that topic of self-reflection too. There really is a message of love in it. And I don't think that your personality qualms, being shy or non-confrontational, I don't think that that can be a blanketed statement for all of your interactions and issues. Let's read Ephesians again. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. So if our whole thing is to self-reflect, then we have to grow and we have to want truth. We have to want the truth in the situation. And all of us, there's not one person. There is not a person. So do you hear me, person listening to this? Am I speaking over your speakers? You can just hear my voice bellowing throughout your car. I hope you bump it at the stoplight like it was a rap song. Is your heart open to speaking truth about subjects? Is it open? Are you open to that? Are you someone who is willing to speak truth about topics? Like, hey, come talk to me about anything. That's a good indicator of who walks in truth. The person who's willing to talk about it and do something about it is the person that walks in truth. There's not a secret over here that you would uncover that I couldn't handle the topic of. I don't mind sitting in a conversation where I feel like I've been wrong, and we're terrible at being wrong. We're terrible at seeking correction. So here's where this all plugs in. That is the enemy wanting you to stay complacent, telling you that your fear is justified, that tension and awkwardness in relationship and conversation and people you care about, it's better to avoid. That is the enemy. And the day that you have a wake up and a realization to that, that it is time to face things hard on. Speaking of love, it's time to face those issues in my marriage I'm not thrilled with. It's time to face these uncomfortable topics within my family. It's time to heal that severed relationship. It's time to do it. That is a notch for good because the whole entire Bible supports it. The whole Bible supports all of it. Just all of it. Restoration, forgiveness, boldness, completion, truth. I mean, I could go on forever. And yet we will sit here and, you know, just dance around everything all day, all along. It's not an easy conversation. If you want to get good at love, that's effort to being Christ-like. So then join the conversation of love. Maybe you're not good at love. Are you good at love? How good at love? How good at the conversation of love are you? How? It's rare we meet people who really walk in the love of Christ. It should be our goal. Think about it. Let's do this. Ready? Self-reflection moment. Is the way you love Christ like? I'm going to give you a second to think about it. Is this awkward? Is the way you love Christ like? Is it? Do you think the way you love people, the way you love people in your life, do you think that this is how Christ loved people? Let's get better at it. Okay, fine. Let's have the whole month to talk. We'll talk about love. So come with an open heart. Come excited. We want you here. Remember the scripture verse we talked about last week in Ecclesiastes, I think. Don't call good evil or evil good. I say that scripture, I'm not kidding you, at least every 3 days, if not every day. Don't call good evil and call evil good. Don't tell me that you love the Lord and you follow Christ, but you're not willing to walk in correction or walk in truth. Throwing it out there. Get better at catching yourself in arguments when you're wrong. Correct it fast. I said that. That was mean. That was wrong. I just had a little heated debate with somebody last week and something came out of my mouth and it was ugly. And I felt like I was like outside my body watching myself say it, and it was ugly. And I immediately said to them, I just heard that come out of my mouth. And let me tell you why I said that. I said that out of hurt. And I said that out of fear of this situation. And that's actually not me. And I didn't want to say that to you. I'm sorry it came out of my mouth. I corrected it in 2 seconds. I didn't justify it. I didn't give it a notch of evil. I didn't call it was on the team of evil. Now, here's where we also get stuck. We will want to call it, I was just frustrated. It's not evil. It wasn't good. It was frustration. Unfortunately, that plays for the team of evil. Unfortunately. So if you can come to grips with middle ground is often evil, that changes everything too. It does in all areas, in all directions. So let's love like Christ. Let's not love in our way, in a selfish way, in a scared way, in a defensive way. And you know what? Fine. Let's just celebrate it. Why not? We're already here. We're not going to reverse Valentine's Day. Matter of fact, it's becoming more of a monster. If you don't want to spend money, that's one thing. Then you better think of a real creative way to do the sacrifice of the lamb in the middle of the town with the milk and the blood. No, I'm just joking. But you could do a really cool special handmade card. And I bet you, if you want to save the Valentine's Day rose prices, I bet if you wrote your significant other a handwritten, very nice, long, detailed letter, that'd probably be worth $1 million. Okay, so I'm excited for this month of love. If you are single, you definitely want to come back next week. And I love you guys. Happy Valentine's Day. Listen, speaking of love, if you love me or like me, would you please go leave me a 5-star review on any of the podcast platforms? Okay, let's talk about love. Ooh, do you guys know that Celine Dion song? We'll be back next week. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. Love you guys. Bye.